Welcome to Tea Smack, home of the Tea Smack. May I take your order?
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Talking Smack, where we talk superheroes, movies, animation, comics, and much, much more. I am your host, Josh Scar, and joining me, as always, is Alex. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. The Powerball is going to be pulled soon. I have, like, my 75 tickets here. Now, by the order of odds, let me see. I have, like, a 1 in 360 million shot of winning if I have one ticket. But then each time I get a ticket, it increases those odds by the count of that ticket. So like it halves it. So after like two tickets, it's like 150 million and I have 75. So I have a 1 in 3 shot. It is fantastic.
Sounds like that math checks out.
It does.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Just like Girl Scout cookies. If you get the Thin Mints, it's only two servings. There's two tubes in there of cookies. Each tube is a serving.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, I mean, they say thin in the name of the cookies. So like it can't be bad for you.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm hyped up on cookies and I'm gonna win. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing as well as can be. It's been a week from hell. I'm happy to see your house is not underwater.
Mm-mm, not yet.
We had snow to start the week. Mm-hmm. We had like 2 inches of snow and then that turned into rain and pretty sure a bunch of people started building arcs in my area.
Oh, wow. I mean, lumber prices have dropped since the pandemic mostly ended. So that's really good investment.
It's either bunkers or arcs. It's a 50-50 shot in my area.
Well, I guess the question is, have you seen animals walking down the street in 2x2 formation?
Define animal in this scenario.
Well, I've been to your neighborhood. There's some feral people there.
It's true. Took the kids to the park today because it was actually nice and dry. And there's some guy parked out in his Tesla with like three little yappy dogs just sitting like a half a mile away from the playground. And it's like, what are you doing, man? Why are you harassing people with your tiny little murder dogs?
Maybe he was camping. Was it the Tesla Cybertruck with the camping attachment?
Oh, man. <Ugh. laughs> If I ever see one of those things in the wild, I don't know how I'll react. I seriously don't. I've already got someone who has a bunch of 45th president flags hanging up outside their fence on my route to get my kids to school, which is also by my high school that I went to. And I really, every day, I just dream about like, if I was 10 years younger, if I didn't have kids, I'd be working on a project to not deface anything. I would just cover it and just say, I support fascism, swastikas, whatever gets the point across that this person is a horrible person that cannot wait to get us into Nazi Germany circa 2024.
No. You still could. You just have to be tasteful about it.
I don't have the time and energy. Like, do you hear me today? I can barely lift my microphone up to my face through my mic arm, let alone come up with something clever to put over this person's flags. The obliviousness of having one flag that says women for Trump. That's like saying burgers for the Hamburglar.
Which actually reminds me of something. It's someone pointed out that I found interesting. So the Hamburglar.
Rapple, rapple.
Who in the McDonald's marketing department went, how do we sell our hamburgers? Got it. A criminal. We're going to just go, you know, fresh out of jail, maybe broken out because they're still wearing the pinch, you know, the black and white stripes. And they are just want our burgers, but not just our burgers. They're going to take your burgers off of your plate.
I'm curious if that wasn't around the same time that when did Fruity Pebbles start doing the like Barney steals Fred's Fruity Pebbles ads?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious because there was a whole line of advertising where it was someone is coming for your food. Like the Trix Rabbit. The whole thing with that was just people not wanting to give him their food. He just wanted some cereal and everyone's like, no, you're a rabbit. You don't get food. You get wood pelts.
Lucky Charms. You know, they're always after me, Lucky Charms.
Again, they're trying to steal his food that he's not giving to anyone, though. He's just running around. They just want to eat. And he's like, no, he's a capitalist.
I remember playing this game. I think it was on Super NES. It was the Domino's Avoid the Noid game.
Yes. Yes. Noid. But the Noid didn't want to steal your food. He wanted to destroy your food.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. The late 80s, early 90s must have been a wild time for advertisers. Like, you know what's cool? Criminals. Criminals who want food.
We're going to scare those kids into eating our food.
Exactly.
And yet, as awful as their food is, Little Caesars has never changed.
Nope.
It is still just pizza, pizza.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they acknowledged that what they do, it's hot and ready. Did we say good? No, we said it's hot and it's ready.
When I worked at GameStop, we had a Little Caesars just next door. So we would usually team up with them when we do midnight launches. Lewis would pay out of pocket because GameStop is cheap as hell. He would buy like 10 pizzas, and every now and then, like, it would be really good. Like, if there was a good amount of sauce I got on one of those pizzas, mm-hmm. it was good. It was not bad at all. And like, you wouldn't get the rumbly tumblies. Mm-hmm. It was just not too greasy. Like, I would prefer a Little Caesars. Hey, I'll take a little kickback here. Not a sponsor, but could be. I prefer Little Caesars to Papa John's. Papa John's can go rot in hell.
I've never understood the appeal of Papa John's. Like,
they're better ingredients, better pizza. Like, no, you're not.
No, work would occasionally bring them in for like, to give us lunch or something like that. And I never found ooh, this is a good slice. This is the thing I want. The bread always felt undercooked. The like garlic sauce dip thing was always like runny. It's weird.
And the sauce is too sweet. You don't want a really sweet marinara pizza sauce, whatever you put on there. It's tangy. It's not what you want, at least not for me, and it's clearly not for you either. I'm a sauce person. I like a good sauce.
Okay, so Little Caesars, I secretly believe, maybe I should check their quarterly profits or something like that, but I'm betting it's not their pizza that keeps them in business. I think it's secretly their crazy bread is like 90% of their profit margin.
Crazy bread and their cheesy bread. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they're a crazy bread company, but they really wish they were a pizza company. So they just keep hammering at it, you know,
sort of like how Domino's transitioned from being a pizza place into fast food Olive Garden.
Yes, exactly. Which I did one of those promos. It's already weird enough ordering pizza and then getting like a side of like boneless wings from like Domino's. But then it's like you order pizza and it's like, yeah, why not throw some really bad lasagna in there with me?
Jim Gaffigan had a really great bit about the pasta bread bowl.
Yeah.
Just like, oh yeah, carbs with a side of carbs. Mmm, delicious.
It's just so odd.
Well, if you can't tell this week, we have nothing better to talk about. It's been a bad week for us trying to get out to things. We really wanted to try and get out and see Monkey Man, but it just did not happen this week.
No.
Personal life stuff got in the way. Work stuff got in the way. We're going to talk about food and the news from this week. We've done the food thing, so we're going to hear from our friends Karen and Ann over at the Sugar-Coated Murder podcast, and we will come back and talk the news. So we'll be right back.
Hey, Ann Barner.
Hey, Karen Beatty.
We need a promo. You know, like where we talk about what we do on our podcast.
On our Sugar-Coated Murder podcast? Like how we love to bake and talk about murder?
That's what we need to talk about.
There you go.
I think we've talked about it. Y'all find us on all your favorite listening apps.
Stay sweet.
And don't murder.
Because if you kill people,
we will talk about you.
This is the longest wait for me. Because I was like, I think he's going to say something.
I have something on the tip of my tongue and then I lose it immediately. It's been one of those days. It's been one of those weeks. I was like, what? I usually just kind of flow, go with the flow and whatever. But today it's not flowing at all. The food transition literally came out of the moment and I was like, that's good. That's good stuff, Thar. Oh yeah. Also, by the way, everyone, I was on an episode of The Cult-Worthy. that's our headlining stories. I was on an episode of The Cult-Worthy, which apparently you all really dug because Antonio reached out to me and Slade and was praising how many downloads they had in the first few hours of the episode launching. So thanks everyone for listening. If you haven't, you can check it out on YouTube or you can find it on your favorite podcatcher. I'll put a link in the episode description for this episode. is good times. We kicked off Animation April. I kicked off Animation April, I think, for the third straight year. First year, we Antonio and I talked about a Goofy movie. And then last year, we had a three-headed attack of me, Antonio, and Slade from Game Club Pod, where we talked about different anime movies. And then this year, same thing. Me, Antonio, Slade talked about three different anime movies. Good times. And I actually went back to listen to the 2023 Animation April episode. And I got to say, I think Slade, Antonio, and I did a much better job of talking about the best way and the purpose of an adaptation than Patrick Willems did in a 59-minute video about the same subject, except he like specified it into Mario. I'm just going to brag about that real quick. Humble brag. I can't humble brag?
Oh, yeah. You can humble brag as much as you want. You have occasionally a good opinion. I believe in you.
And that's the thing about Patrick Willems. I think he has good opinions. He just doesn't really share them that often. But his videos have become really weird where they don't have a point anymore. He like hypothesizes for 30 minutes when you get through all the bits, and none of it comes to any kind of substantial conclusion. He just is basically like, and that's the thing. Interesting, huh?
I really do like Patrick H. Williams. I like how he structures things. I find, you know, his bits really engaging. But the Mario one, I was just torn over because I found it really compelling how he was putting forth how the live action Mario was supposed to be like an anti-adaption. And it would have been capped in the end had they not done that deleted scene of the Japanese executives from Nintendo like being like, hey, listen, we want to license your story for a game kind of thing. But yeah, it just kind of ended with like, there's no definitive point over should you not do a direct adaptation or should you be faithful to a T?
And he doesn't come to any real conclusion about it either, because the main point he gets to is the fact that Mario is a nothing character, which fair, and there's little to no premise to any of his games other than get to the end of the level, eventually you get to the last boss and you beat Bowser, save the princess. There's no overarching story, there's no huge lore dump or anything like that. So adapting that into a movie, you're basically just living off of the nostalgia bait.
Yeah.
You're relying on people to react to visuals that they have seen, and that he doesn't come to any conclusion beyond that. And I think that's really similar to what the Game Club Pod guys and I talked about, where Slade really enjoyed it. I believe Joey really enjoyed it. But Tim and I both were like, this is surface level nonsense. Like, it's not a compelling movie. It's not something that's going to make you walk away and like, you'll feel good. It'll give you that endorphin high, but it's not going to do anything to like improve your life or make you think beyond just, I should play Mario.
Mm-hmm.
So news, the big news, in my opinion, this week was that Bob Iger survived, for lack of a better word, a coup attempt on the Disney board of directors, which the movement was fronted by worst person you maybe have possibly never heard of, Ike Perlmutter, and his partner in crime in this. And this is a term that I did not understand when I heard it when they were talking about this story, is activist investor Nelson Peltz. I had to look up what the hell an activist investor is, because on surface level, I'm like, an activist, someone who is fighting for something. An activist investor sounds like an oxymoron. What the hell is that? An activist investor is code for rich asshole who has nothing better to do than upend businesses to start making them operate under extreme capitalist rule. This is my Urban Dictionary of it. Like, I could go upload this to Urban Dictionary right now, and it would probably move up the rankings pretty quickly. But basically, the idea behind an activist investor is they buy a significant portion of a minority stock in a company, and then they try to worm their way into the board and make a whole shit ton of changes. And in this case, it's make even more cheap crap with as high a price point as possible, because Disney's already doing a lot of that. Like, we're going to talk a little bit about Moana 2, which was originally supposed to be a Disney Plus series. Mm-hmm. They're now repurposing it into a movie. That's the kind of stuff we're dealing with right now with Bob Iger as the head of Disney. And that's, it would only get worse behind Nelson Peltz, the guy who cast a white person, his daughter, nonetheless, as Katara in the M. Night Shyamalan, The Last Airbender movie. This guy also has publicly stated, why do we need black movies with black people? why do we need an all black cast? Why do we need an all Asian cast? He doesn't get it. And like, you can even argue that none of the Marvel movies that have boasted all black, all Asian casts are that. They have the token white characters in there as well. I think Shang-Chi is probably the biggest skewing away from the token white person. You get random people here and there, but for the most part, it is mostly an all Asian cast. Ben Kingsley is probably he's Indian, if I remember. He's British Indian, multicultural.
I think so. He played Gandhi in the 80s.
Which, I mean, in the 80s, that means nothing. I mean,
okay, yes, he is. He does have Indian heritage. His father was born in Zanzibar.
Okay, so he is multicultural.
Yes.
But Nelson Peltz and Ike Perlmutter. Ike Perlmutter also, again, probably one of the most horrible people you have not heard of. He's the guy who recast Terrence Howard, who was asking for a pay raise with Don Cheadle. And he said, no one will notice because all black people look the same.
Oh my God.
He is on record as saying that. Like, he didn't go, we'll get Don Cheadle because we can get him cheap. He went, no one will notice because he, among other things, he thinks audiences are dumb and he's racist as hell.
Jeez. Okay.
So Nelson Peltz and Ike Perlmutter's coup attempt did not work. They lost basically by a 2-1 margin. And thank God, like, Bob Iger is one of the worst people in the public eye. Alex, you know all about dark side than I do, but this is a lesser of two evils kind of situation because I think, yeah, Iger is doing a bunch of stuff to try and raise money because they're bleeding, they're hemorrhaging money in Disney Plus, and they need money in the box office as well. So I think he's just, that's why we're getting Frozen 3. That's why we're getting Toy Story 5. That's why we're getting Moana 2 in theaters instead of on Disney Plus. And I cannot imagine what would happen at the Disney parks, what would happen with the Disney brand, what would happen with Disney movies if this guy and Ike Perlmutter had any kind of significant say on production process or even any power whatsoever in that room. So I'm thankful for that.
I am not going to defend racism or anything like that. I will say that Disney is in a weird place right now. They have had 4 years of just misses, just whiffing at the box office. It's like, I hope when Wish, you know, now Wish is on Disney Plus, that it blows up, because I know You and the Movie Wire love it. But it's been a bad few years for superhero movies. Their animated movies don't seem to be nudging the box office at all. Hopefully there's still draws here. You know, Pixar is, I'm not gonna say on life support or anything like that, but Pixar, it's been what, 5 years since they've had actually a breakout hit of something. I don't know. I'm hoping that they can refine their feet. It's not been great. Does that mean that the board needs to be completely overhauled, that we need a bunch of cheap crap being pushed out? That I've had friends who are, you know, Disney heads who go to the parks like 2-3 times a year, and they're saying that it's just too expensive. Lines are too long. Things aren't going well. Heck, Star Wars is like, was it that $3 billion Star Wars experience hotel didn't even last 18 months and it's been shuttered.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a decent enough excuse with COVID.
Right.
At the price point they launched that at, with the concept behind it, that was never going to work. A 3-day land cruise for what is essentially a murder mystery cosplay event.
Yeah.
There's no way that works. I mean, great, you get immediate access to Galaxy's Edge when you go in, but the way that whole thing was advertised, I would have hated it just because I would have felt obligated to stay on the ship, quote unquote ship. Yeah. Because I think it was a 2-day, 3-night event where there's a whole story unfolding. You're doing the cruise thing where there's different things happening. You can go do whatever, but there's a story that's happening. So if you just go to the park for 8 hours in the day, you're going to completely miss part of the story.
Yeah.
And like, why am I paying $8,000 for a family of five to go to this hotel? And I think that includes park tickets, at least to Hollywood Studios, where you can go to Galaxy's Edge. But why am I going into the parks to spend more time and money away from the event that's happening? Like, it needed to be cheaper, and they didn't need the storyline involvement. Having that weird storyline cosplay thing going on, that I think could have been what turned a lot of people away, just because it creates confusion into what the hotel actually is supposed to be about.
Yeah. Well, there's also the kind of Disney's gone through a ton of layoffs recently. They're reconsolidating. So they're reinvesting tens of billions in both the U.S. parks, but also they're investing money in the Paris park. And here's something that's that I found very interesting is that they had announced that Galaxy's Edge was going to come to, you know, Disney World Paris. They just gave an update on the park, and they talked about expanding the Frozen section of the park. Galaxy's Edge apparently has been quietly canceled from Disney Paris. They're just wiping that under the rug. They're like, nope. Mm-mm.
When they do park announcements, they will tease things. Like Disney World and Magic Kingdom specifically has had a tease of a park expansion for probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Like there's a Villains Land coming. There's something. There's this. There's that. The only reason I think there is finally something coming is because Universal has their whole new theme park thing going on, where they've got like How to Train Your Dragon Land, Harry Potter Land, which J.K. Rowling's a turf, so don't go. There's the Dark Universe Land, which that is so Universal. Like, they're so desperate to use that Dark Universe brand, and they're just like, it's going to happen. You guys are going to make it a thing. We're going to make it a thing.
Hey, the Universal Monsters are fantastic. I love those 40s and 50s movies. They're great. And
I can't wait to meet the Invisible Man.
I know, right? Oh, wait, Josh, was he just behind you offering his hand to you? Or is that you giving a thumbs up to the camera again? Can't tell.
That might have been the camera seeing the Invisible Man give a thumbs up. For those of you that don't know, my camera is thermal as well.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Predator Land.
That's why Alex walks away with a headache. It's the only way he can actually see me being a cat. The Disney park stuff is always going to be an announcement that never accumulates into what they actually say it is. It's gonna alter, it's gonna shift, because like Disney World in Florida is never gonna get a Marvel Land, which is why they did Avengers Campus in Disneyland and California Adventure, because Disney has some weird licensing agreement with Universal, but only in the state of Florida.
Yeah, it's from the 90s when Marvel was about to go under, and so they sold the rights, like everything.
When they were selling filing cabinets just to try and pay rent.
Yep. And so somehow through all of that, the final agreement when Disney bought them was that Universal could keep their superhero campus thing in perpetuity kind of thing. It's like, oh man, I've read about this a long time ago. It's like the Indiana Jones ride. Like Spielberg gets like 1% of like Universal's profits per year because of that, or something weird. There's something weird with Spielberg getting like a...
I think both Indiana Jones attractions are at Disney World and Disneyland. I know that Disneyland has an Indiana Jones ride, and then Disney World, Hollywood Studios, I believe, has an Indiana Jones experience stunt show.
Okay, here it is. Part of his agreement when he was big in the 80s was, when he struck deals with Universal to make movies, is that he got 2% of ticket sales and gross revenues of the Florida theme parks.
Yeah, okay.
In perpetuity.
He and George Lucas are just masterminds for that shit.
There it is. Because of the attractions based off of his movies, Jaws, Back to the Future, and Jurassic Park. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not Indiana Jones. It's Jaws, Back to the Future, and Jurassic Park.
Okay. Which still, like, yeah, you even after the fact, like even without the Indiana Jones stuff, like having the hindsight to be able to be like, no, you're going to give me some royalties for this. He and Lucas are masters at that. I don't know what else you can say.
Merchandising, where the real money from the movie is made.
Nothing but facts from Mel Brooks.
What else do we got for news?
So other news we have. Alex, would you believe the internet is upset?
What?
The internet is upset that a woman was cast in a comic book movie.
They allow that to happen?
Julia Garner has been cast as Shala Baal. She is the second Silver Surfer in Marvel Comics. Little bit of backstory. Shala Baal was created in 1968 by Stan Lee and John Buscema, which, yeah, I mean, it's totally woke. It clearly just happened recently to go woke to satisfy the female demographic. I don't know what else to tell you besides the fact that they just wanted a female Silver Surfer because that's what Marvel did back then, is if there was a male character, they usually did a female counterpart. Typically, Shalabala is a romantic partner, love interest for the original Silver Surfer, Norrin Rad. So the fact that they're going with Shalabala as the Silver Surfer for the Fantastic Four movie indicates maybe there could be some backstory going on. So like maybe we've already had the Silver Surfer turning against Galactus kind of story, or maybe they're just going with Shalabala as the Norrin Rad character and maybe they'll turn at the end of it. Who knows? We can only speculate, and I don't like speculating, but other people have done such things, and they are hypothesizing that the Fantastic Four movie is going to be set in the multiverse. It's not going to be set on like MCU Prime, Earth 1999-99. It's not Earth 616. Get over yourselves. The Queen, Iman Vellani, has said it's Earth 1999-99.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what it is. But I don't know anything about Julia Garner. I can't say I'm familiar with anything she's been in. I looked her up on IMDb, and I don't know that I've seen her in anything.
Julia Garner is amazing. She is absolutely a fantastic actress, and I find her adorable as hell. I was a big fan of The Americans, and she played one of the marks that Matthew Rias, who played Philip Jenin, he worked on her to get stuff from her father, who was like a politician. She was basically a mark for him, and his thing was a whole like she was young. The character may have been in high school. I don't remember because I haven't watched The Americans since it ended about 6 years ago. But I remember her like she's adorable and earnest and fantastic. And I have mentioned my extreme dislike of Jason Bateman. I have no idea why, just visceral thing. When I found out she had a leading role in the Ozarks, I sucked it up to watch her in it because I'm like, okay, I really like her. I find her engaging. She plays a character named Ruth, who is tied up with all the stuff. And she has one of my favorite meme lines of all time. Now, this line by itself could just be stupid, and it is stupid. But this line coming from her with her emotion of saying, "I don't know shit about fuck." It's so good. And her character transformation in that is just fantastic. She is a really good actress. And it helps that she kind of has a unique look to her because she has this very tight, curly blonde hair that adds just an innocence to whatever role she plays. You see this, it's like immediately you're like, oh, you're kind of cute. Like, aren't you, adorable? But she's versatile. She's got some great roles. Don't necessarily remember her in The Perks of Being a Wallflower. That was one of her first roles. But I do remember her from Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. She was playing this, I believe she plays Marcy, who's like, oh, just a random character who gets killed in like an elevator or something like that, briefly. When one of like the whole like storybooking kind of vignettes that they do. But she's on a roll right now. She's got, she's filming The Wolfman. Which, yes, there you go, Dark Universe.
My main takeaway from Julia Garner's casting is cool. Can't wait to see it. I'm interested. I'm just more curious as to why they... I feel like this has to be a one-upsmanship on Fox. Like, they're just going straight for, you guys made Galactus a giant cloud. I don't care if there's a flash of lightning and you can see the helmet or whatever, the silhouette. We're going to do Galactus. We're going to do Galactus right. I feel like that is the thing they're going for to try and get butts in seats. Is they're like, yep, we're going to do Galactus and we're doing him proper.
Oh, they better. I'm tired of Skybeam giant particle cloud bullshit.
Well, I mean, he has to eat planets. So, of course, we're going to see the Skybeam eating the planet sort of thing. We have to do, you have to have the Skybeam. But yeah. Which, again, maybe that's a power play by them. They're going to be like, hey, remember Fant Four Stick? We're going to do a Skybeam and we're going to do it better.
Hey, if they really wanted to go full hardcore on like alternate universe, multiverse bullshit, they would bring back Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. They would just be like, he's like, yeah, you're not doing Cap anymore. You're now Johnny Storm again.
Hey, rumors persist that Chris Evans could show up in Deadpool 3 as Johnny Storm for even just a millisecond. I think that would be fun. He and Reynolds seem to have a pretty good relationship. He got him in for that quick cameo and Free Guy.
Yep.
So who knows? I'm very excited to see what they're going to do with this. They've already confirmed that Herbie the Robot's going to have a bigger role, and he's actually going to be in the movie. So I just I can't wait. I'm excited. We already had 4/4/24, which was never the official release date for this movie, which was a missed opportunity. But in my heart, I always felt that 4/4/24 was going to be the release date for the Fantastic Four, but never came to fruition. Mm. And the internet can continue to cry about women being cast in things and probably will end up being wrong about it in this case. I would hope. I don't care. I just want these movies to be fun and good. That's all I care about.
Agreed.
Next up, we have your most anticipated movie of 2025. Tron: Ares finally has a release date of October 10th of 2025.
I don't know, man. I'm wounded. There's only so much defending Jared Leto that I can do. I had to go north this weekend and stayed at a friend's house. Wheel of Fortune was on. And I made a random comment about how, like, oh, did you hear that, you know, they set Pat Sajak's, you know, last show be in June. And she went, oh, my God, I thought it was Monday. This previous Monday, I was like, what? Why? She's like, because it was Monday and Vanna White and Jared Leto came out on stage. I'm like, Jared Leto hosted hosted Wheel of Fortune? She's like, well, that was an April Fool's gag. He came out, you know, the whole little shtick with Van at the beginning, walked up, announced the first category. And as they went to the whole, you know, because it was a toss up, by the time it got to the person announcing, it was back to Pat. And I was like, oh, okay. They showed me the clip and I was like, oh, that's kind of a cute bit. And they're like, yeah, he didn't seem to really be interested in being there. I'm like, I cannot defend him on everything. Okay. I like him. I like 30 Seconds to Mars. I have died and been respawned numerous times on that hill defending his version of the Joker that the internet just turned on him for no good. Okay. Maybe a good reason, but it's been like 10 years, guys. Okay. He's doing Tron.
Hey, it's the Academy Award winning Suicide Squad. Give it the respect it deserves.
He's doing Tron Ares. It's not like the first Tron was a big hit. Lord knows the second Tron didn't really earn enough money. Tron Uprising, the animated show, was actually pretty good.
Yes.
Tron Legacy is most known for eventually causing Daft Punk to break up. But anyways, it's fine. He can't hurt you. He was defeated long ago by Jodie Foster in Panic Room, okay? He can't hurt you.
Doesn't he die in Requiem for a Dream too? Like, isn't he just a corpse at this point?
Yes. And he played one in the Haunted Mansion that came out last year.
That's right. That's probably how he got this role, is he probably heard they were doing a Tron movie and Disney's like, can you do two? We'll let you do Tron if you can do this one. We just need an Academy Award winner on the call sheet.
Which, to go back to our previous conversation, that movie lost a ton of money. Why do you release a haunted house movie
in the middle of July? I mean, I didn't even watch it in Halloween time either. But like, still, why would you not release a family-friendly Halloween movie in Halloween season? Even if you release it on like September 30th, that gives you an entire month to possibly occupy the box office if it's fun, family-friendly nonsense.
Hell yeah. The thing is, they dropped Saw X like September 30th. Why don't you drop Saw X and Haunted House and same thing? Drop your kids off at the mansion. The adults go watch Saw X.
It's because Paw Patrol was releasing. They knew they had no chance.
Oh, that's true. We watched it for my wife's birthday. We had friends over. We watched The Haunted Mansion because it had just dropped on Disney Plus. It was cute. Was it great? No. Was it good? Yeah, it was fun. It was an enjoyable hour and a half, you know, 2 hours. We liked it. They tried to shove a deeper meaning deep in there. And then, you know, Jared Leto went and filmed Tron Ares, which I hope is really good.
I'm more curious about what the aesthetic and the storyline is going to be. I would love it if we never see Jared Leto's face, if he just does method acting and he's in a helmet the entire time. I know it's not going to happen. You don't put Jared Leto in this movie without showing his face.
They did in Haunted Mansion.
No, he was in the trailers. You could see him.
He was a hatbox ghost. You never saw him?
He was in the trailers.
Was he in the trailers?
I'm pretty sure he was in at least two of the trailers.
I don't think we ever saw him. He was the hatbox ghost. I don't think we ever saw his face.
Pulling the Will Ferrell from Anchorman, I don't believe you card here.
That's right.
But I would give him all the credit in the world. Because I think he can do some interesting things with his voice and with his body acting. It's just everyone hates his goddamn face. He just has a face that makes you want to punch something, particularly him. And if we don't see his face, maybe people will be like, oh man, Jared Leto was great in that movie.
You know what? Maybe by playing, because apparently he's Ares in Tron Ares. Maybe he actually just is a program. Maybe he is like some evolution of the Tron program and is just like a Snake Eyes kind of thing. That'd be cool. I mean, this cast is actually fascinating. You have Greta Lee, Evan Peters, you know, also known as Quicksilver, Hassan Minhaj. I'm not sure what I know him from. Oh, he was in Haunted Mansion, actually, with Jared Leto. Jodie Turner Smith, Cameron Monaghan, Gillian Anderson.
Cameron Monaghan, really?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll finally get him in a Disney Star Wars movie.
If only. But you know what I'm actually really excited about?
Jared Leto dying one day?
No. How dare you?
I'm in a dark place today. I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you a story. My wife and I used to fall asleep watching.
This is going
to
be such a bad edit for you.
Oh, I'm not editing shit. This is raw.
We're stalling so much.
We used to watch Atlantis, the Lost Empire. It's a fun movie. It's a great movie. There's no bad voice acting role in it.
Joshua Sweets is the best character in any Disney movie ever, and I will not be taking any ats at this moment.
It is one of Jim Varney's last voice roles. He actually died during production, so there's like one line towards the end where they do a voice alike, and you can kind of tell. It's kind of sad. But anyways, I asked my wife about it. I was like, didn't they do a sequel? And she said, yeah, they actually had a Disney TV show that they decided to cancel and just cobbled together the three episodes into a movie. And it's terrible. I'm never going to allow you to watch it. So we have never watched it. Which brings me back to Moana 2, which is a Disney Plus TV show that they canceled, cobbled together, released as a movie. And here's the great part. Because they announced officially, as you let us know, The Rock and... I apologize.
Ali'i Cravalho.
Thank you. The Rock and Moana are returning for the movie. They officially
Ali'i Cravalho.
Ali'i Cravalho. Is that close?
Ali'i.
Ali'i.
Ali'i. Ali'i.
The two principal actors are returning. And that tells me one thing. They're dubbing this movie. Because typically what happens is you record your lines and they do the facial animation stuff to your performance. That's how a lot of the animated performances are done. You typically don't film, you dub over a completed product because they have to do the lip matching and all that stuff. It is April. This thing comes out in November.
Yep.
They're doing a dub. They may have enough time to maybe like fix some story stuff, but this is the equivalent of taking a direct-to-video product and just dumping it in theaters.
So Alexa does, your Amazon Alexa, I apologize if I'm waking up anyone's Alexa. They did these weird, like, Alexa, play Maui's whatever adventure game. And it would be like an audio adventure for your kids to play with the Alexa. I am pretty sure SNL alum Chris Parnell does the voice match for The Rock.
Really?
I can't say for sure because they don't offer a credit for it, but you can hear it. My kids played that until I had to take away the Alexa because they're playing it too much. They wanted to constantly, Alexa, tell me a joke. Alexa, play the Maui game. But I'm pretty sure Chris Parnell does the Maui voice match.
Hmm. Do you have any hope this is going to be good?
No. Do I know this is going to be good? No. I have this a little further down, but since we're talking about it, they did release the official synopsis, whatever, for the movie. They announced that it's coming out November 27th of this year. The official synopsis is perils abound in Walt Disney Animation, which it's not Walt Disney Animation Studios. This is the Disney TV, Disney Plus people. I mean, maybe it's some of the people from the Disney Studios, Disney Animation Studios, but I don't think they're putting their assets from the Walt Disney Studios into this. This has to be something where they're some legal workaround. Like they absorbed the people that worked on this into the studio. In Walt Disney Animation Studios, all new animated musical Moana 2. 3 years since her first voyage, Moana is on an expansive journey in search of people beyond the shores of Motunui, which we saw that at the end of the first movie. Like they're already going beyond Motunui. Joined by Maui and a brand new crew of unlikely seafarers, Moana must journey to far seas of Oceania.
Oceania.
Oceania. Okay. the far seas of Oceania and into dangerous, long-lost waters for an adventure unlike anything she's ever faced, which I call shenanigans.
Isn't that their first movie?
We got our first official image of 3 years older Moana as well. And there's a giant octopus or something behind her. You see like a giant tentacle or something. She's encountered sea monsters before. She's defeated a giant lava monster. So I don't know what she has not faced before. She also fought a giant crab. She survived the realm of monsters. Granted, they were smaller monsters compared to what this 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea giant squid kind of thing could be. But I think you're right that they're doing a dub just because you're not talking about a brand new cast of unlikely seafarers without her acquiring a team that is going to take away some of the spotlight from Moana.
Yeah. And by the way, thanks. You mentioned giant crab and immediately in my head, shiny.
You can't run from me. Oh, you can. You keep surprising me.
I love that line. You can't run from me and immediately. Oh, you can. How is this so surprising to me? And then this one too.
Wait a minute. Ah, I see. She's taken a barnacle and she's covered it in bioluminescent algae as a diversion.
Two best lines in the entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they're so good. So yeah, Moana 2, I'm not excited about. They can't recapture that magic, especially when this was originally supposed to be a vehicle to drive subscriptions to Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And this was announced, I think, like 3 years ago for Disney Plus, along with Zootopia Plus, which I think they finally released Zootopia Plus sometime last year.
Did they?
Think so. I'm pretty sure they did. But I have no faith in them being able to cobble this thing into a comprehensive movie at all. But I will be seeing it because my kids absolutely love Moana. My youngest is probably the most obsessed with Moana right now. But the first Moana came out when my oldest was just turning one. And I remember Ricky and I went to go see it with the family. Someone babysat the oldest because they were only a year old at that point. They weren't going to sit through a movie. And we were like, cannot wait for her to see this movie. And Disney started uploading clips from the movie with the songs. So we started watching those on the TV, on YouTube, and they were absorbed into it. I vividly remember the day Moana came out on digital. Oldest kid had a really bad day, like bumped their head or something on a wall. And I'm like, I need something to calm her down because she is just going crazy. So let's buy Moana on digital. I don't do that because I hate paying $20 for something that I'm essentially renting for an extended period of time. Put it on after we got the download and probably watch that movie for the next 5.5 hours until they fell asleep.
Aww.
On loop because she loved it so much. That's and now cute. The youngest is doing it too. Anytime she's alone, we have a DVD player in the van, and anytime she's alone in the van, she's like, Moana?
Okay, I have a quick question just so people don't wonder how often you just randomly leave your child in vans. Why are they alone?
They're not alone. Like alone as in like no siblings.
Okay.
Alone as in like they're the only ones in the back seat while I am driving. Thank you for asking me to clarify because specifics do matter.
Yeah, because for me, I was just like, I wonder if she like randomly just goes down and gets in the van and is like, Moana.
Yeah, that's her hideaway place. But speaking of bad parenting, this is a good transition. We have a movie adaptation for the Rob Liefeld created Evangeline. That's not the bad part. It's being produced by Margot Robbie and Olivia Wilde, and it'll probably be directed by Olivia Wilde, which
probably
I think she doesn't have a vision as a director yet. Like she did Booksmart, which is really good. She's done a couple of other things that have been really mediocre, if not bad, in Don't Worry Darling's case. But there's also a co-producer attached to this alongside Margot Robbie in Simon Kinberg.
Oh, no.
AKA the guy who directed X-Men Dark Phoenix, but has found a way to not have that listed on his IMDb page. He is associated with so many different things. Like if you go to his page, you'd be like, oh, I like that. I like that. That's not good. I like that. That's not good. I like that. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. I like that. That's okay. Is this guy good at his job?
Like, who knows?
He's been attached to like every X-Men movie ever made, including the Deadpool movies. He directed one of them. Like Fox was getting so fed up with him, I guess, or the whatever he was doing. I think they could not hold on to a director when they were trying to get Dark Phoenix off the ground, that Fox finally just went, fine, you're directing it.
Yeah.
And obviously Dark Phoenix turned into Dark Phoenix, but he's got enough sway that even his IMDb page does not have a director's credit for him. You can see it on the Dark Phoenix page, but not on his personal page.
So I have a question for you. This is Evangeline. This is I Can't Draw Feet, Rob Liefeld, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't know anything about Evangeline other than it sounds like maybe she's part angel and an Avenger.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either.
I'm just wondering, how much of a shot do you think we're going to have of Margot Robbie wearing the comic accurate clothing that Evangeline wears when I click on images? Of a corset bustier halter top, basically a pair of panties and combat boots.
So I have a follow-up question. Have you been watching X-Men 97?
Yes.
So you've seen the Goblin Queen episode?
Yes.
Google Goblin Queen comics real quick.
Okay. Goblin Queen. Okay, so that's probably going to be a no. They're not going to keep it comic accurate. Okay.
It might be a throwaway joke that they throw in there, but it's not going to be the final suit by any stretch of the imagination. And the Goblin Queen is a perfect example of how you can improve on that.
Okay.
It depends on how they want to adapt it. If it's going to be an R-rated action comedy a la Deadpool, maybe they do it. But if it's going to be a PG-13, fun for all ages kind of movie, I think they'll play up to the sexuality of the character. But they won't go too overt with it.
Hopefully the comic is good. Hopefully they sell. I've never heard of this.
It's a comic from the 90s. It's probably not good.
Hopefully they do something interesting with it. Margot Robbie was executive producer on the Barbie film. You know, obviously a lot of that was
Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig, thank you. Was her direction along with her writing partner and, you know, Margot shepherding. And they did something fantastic. Maybe they can do some kind of interesting spin here, but to me, it looks like this is like a knockoff barbed wire character.
It very well could have been. I can't say that it's not. I just think it largely hinges on the vision that Olivia Wilde has for this, because I believe she's contracted to direct.
That'd be awesome.
So if she's directing, I think it's really important that Margot Robbie is involved with being on set and helping keep the tone consistent. Because among other things, I don't know where and what Olivia Wilde's directing style is and where she really succeeds. Because, yes, she's done a comedy with Booksmart, but that is also like a best friend's drama kind of movie that has hyper-realistic shenanigans happen. So it's going to be a movie that is very much reliant on the gimmick to get people in. And what is the substance beyond the gimmick that gets people to stay?
Yeah,
that's going to be the important thing. And I think having someone like Olivia Wilde on board is really good, because that makes sure that the movie does not go too far to an extreme. But can you look up real quick who are the like production studios behind it?
Yep. Margot Robbie is producing it through her own production company. But that means it looks like it may be actually Paramount.
Interesting. Maybe Kimberg no longer has a relationship with Disney/Fox.
Yeah. Last reports is that Paramount bought the rights to it back in like 2018.
So Margot Robbie's production studios with Paramount distributing and financing probably a little bit.
Yep. That's what it seems to be.
Okay. Paramount has a better strike rate than any other studio, in my opinion, right now. So I'm fine with that. We did get our first teaser image, I think, of Transformers 1 this week, which it's a nothing image. It's a bunch of silhouettes over Cybertron. So that's another movie that I am awaiting at least a trailer to really form any kind of opinion on.
Yeah, could be good. I'm hoping it is.
All right, let's start with this last line that you have. That one just came up. This was another one that I know is near and dear to your heart. Quantum Leap was canceled. The not reboot, is it requel would be the proper term?
Listen, like 35 years ago, Sam Beckett began his journey. And
I think we did this in the last What You Doing. We should, I know. We're going to have to line up this audio just to see how close it is.
And they canceled the show like the week of like the season finale was coming out, and they were in a and it was ended on a damn cliffhanger where he may or may not have actually been conversing with the devil, because that show got weird towards the end, which is fantastic. Because if you're leaping and you're always trying to like correct right and some wrongs, they're going to bring evil leapers. They're going to bring like cosmology into it and stuff like that. And all they do is threw up a title, black title card at the end of it, at the end of this cliffhanger, because they're going to go into the next fifth season, which is that Sam Beckett never made the leap home, and they misspelled his name. And now they bring it back finally after years and years and years to hear about it, they bring it back. And you know what? It's good. You have Ernie Hudson in this as Magic, who's the leader of the quantum program. You have Mason Alexander Park as Ian, who's fantastic. You have these great characters. You have Addison acting as his, you know, Ben's observer, his like leaper assistant. You have Raymond Lee as Ben Song, who's just leaping, always trying to make the leap home. And you know what? We got two seasons out of it. It ended on something that could have finished, that basically could have just completed the journey. Yes, because now it ended on this beautiful moment of we're getting twin leapers trying to figure out how to leap home. And they freaking canceled it. Listen, Sam hasn't made his way home. Ben hasn't made his way home. Addison hasn't made her way home. Stop canceling the show with them not making it home. It's a show about literally all the show is about. You have to is righting wrongs and making people happy and like correcting things so that the future is a little bit better. That is what the show is about.
This was an NBC show, wasn't it?
Yes, it is an NBC show.
How did NBC give Timeless two seasons and essentially a movie to finish out their storyline? But they can't do that for Quantum Leap, which has like all the nostalgia going for it.
Yep. And the San Andreas or Sand Leap or Fractured Leap or whatever that dinosaur movie show is where they fall into the pit. They just finished that off. They burned that off.
No, it's not Terra Nova. That was from like 2011.
Yeah, it's whatever the other one is. Yeah.
La Brea?
Yes. There we go. La Brea. That just got like 8 episodes to burn off to complete it. Give us a TV movie. Or one more episode, one final leap. And you know what? They find Sam. You don't even have to acknowledge. He doesn't even have to come back, okay? They can just say, like, who is that? That looks like Sam. And they just have his face turned away and just drag this person with him. Oh,
you know Scott Bakula would come back in a heartbeat to finish out that role.
I know, and I love Scott Bakula. And everything I've ever heard about him is that he's a fun, nice guy.
Which, shout out to Dan from Casting Views. A long time ago, he did an episode about Quantum Leap. And he couldn't remember, or he didn't ever know how to pronounce Bakula's name. And so he called him Bakula forever. And I think that's a much cooler way of pronouncing it, especially Dan having a British accent. But it's Bakula.
Scott Bakula. Give us at least a TV movie to wrap this up, okay? Let them find Sam, Ben, and Addison. And they just the ending shot is them in the quantum accelerator, all returning home, okay? Freaking jackasses over at NBC.
Speaking of jackasses, Disney/Pixar is forcing Toy Story 5 down our throats. We've had two straight movies of Toy Stories where we feel like we have a cathartic ending for our toys. And we have grown, cried, loved with them. And then they come back for one more adventure. And somehow they still make a pretty good movie out of it. It's the reverse Indiana Jones.
Listen. I was in the damn theaters watching Toy Story 3, and I really thought they were going to end the damn thing by ending like the brave little toaster with the sad like cry. And they did. They pulled the heartstring. I'm sorry. They're in the thingy. They're about to get like melted, crushed. And the toys reaching out to like hold on to each other as they accept that this is their ending, that they're not going to get back to Andy or whatever. And then the claw saves them. And then you know what? After that emotional heartstring, where my wife and our friend, and we're all just they're crying. We get the beauty of Andy playing with his toys one more and time.
That broke me. That destroyed me when I was in theater seeing that one.
And headcanon is that it's Bonnie, okay? No, sorry, not Bonnie, it's Boo. Boo's name is actually Bonnie, and that's how they end up. And it's tied together. It's one universe. And that broke me. And then they made a fourth one. I still refuse to watch that because it's pissed me off too much.
It's fine. I don't think it's as emotionally powerful as Toy Story 3, but it's still a pretty decent movie. If they could have found a way to flip Toy Story 3 and Toy Story 4, Toy Story 3 is like the perfect ending for those toys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Toy Story 4 just kind of, it extends the adventure, But Buzz Lightyear kind of gets thrown to the wayside because we have the new Forky character. And I don't know what, I don't know where you go with the way Toy Story 4 ends. I don't want to spoil it just because I'm sure you've looked up the wiki or something.
Yes, I did.
But I still don't want to spoil it just in case you decide to watch it. I would recommend watching it just to say you have. I think it's pretty good. It's not Toy Story 3 levels of emotional damage, but it's a good time, and it's not disrespectful to what came before it. It's clearly a money grab. I'm shocked that in all these mix-ups that we've had with Disney, where they're just like, okay, cancel everything that is an original IP and we're gonna just start making sequels everywhere, because we've got Frozen 2, we've got Toy Story 5, we've got
Inside Out 2,
yeah, Moana 2, and other things. They're creatively bankrupt, like most other studios right now. And they're banking on recognizable IPs to try and bring in money. And Toy Story is a big merchandising opportunity. Frozen is a big merchandising opportunity. I'm shocked they didn't go Cars 4. That's another one where they still have Cars toys out in the toy aisles at Target and Walmart. Maybe not as much as it used to be. I am shocked that they just did not announce a Cars 4. Maybe that'll be 2027. I don't know.
Oh man. Ooh. Interview of four a few months ago. Pixar's creative director mentioned that there is a Cars entry somewhere in development. Oh, that is scary.
That's their rainy day fund. we're running real low on money. We need some
merchandising.
Uh-huh.
Nothing like some Lightning McQueen variants and all the Crocs. Have you seen the Lightning McQueen Crocs?
Yes. It is horrifying.
I mean, they're not as bad as the Shrek ones, but they're still pretty bad.
It's already bad enough that it's anthropomorphized car where the tongue is like the grill. And then you have the eyes as the entire windshield. But as Crocs, it just, you're getting into like, it makes me uncomfortable. Okay.
Yeah. The last thing we have going on here is the Mandalorian and Grogu, also known as the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, finally got a date of May 22nd, 2026, which I appreciate the date because that is when every Star Wars movie should be released. Star Wars is not a holiday movie. It's a summer blockbuster, and it needs to be released on George Lucas's birthday weekend.
As it should be.
That is when every Star Wars movie should have come out. Maybe The Force Awakens doesn't make the money that it does, and it forces Disney to be like, oh, maybe we need to actually have a storyline planned out. I blame that opening weekend and the holiday drought, as it were, when that movie came out, that gave us the trilogy that we got. I don't know what to expect from this. You have a good note on here that this is the first theatrically released Star Wars movie in 7 years, and that's important to note, but is it necessary? Will people come to this is the other question. Because, yeah, most people have heard of The Mandalorian at this point. It's been around for 4 years and had 3.5 seasons, 2.5.
Yeah.
3.5 seasons because Book of Boba Fett. 2019, The Mandalorian came out. So in a little under 5 years at this point, somehow, how have we gotten 3 seasons in not even 4 years or 5 years?
Part
of it has to be because Pedro Pascal is not in the armor. He's just got to show up for like a day of recording.
Yeah. So a large part of it is that Favreau wrote these episodes almost completely independently, and he just hired directors to do it. But it is actually kind of impressive with the way the production schedules are nowadays that basically we had a Mando show every year for 4 years. Because we had November of 2019.
Consider that Boba Fett gap just really killed the momentum for me.
Oh yeah,
like, and my dislike of Boba Fett completely set aside. Just getting from what is Mando season 2 to Mando season 3 felt like an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Even with there being like 4 of the 8 episodes or 9 episodes of Book of Boba Fett being focused on a Mandalorian storyline.
Yeah, it was just weird. But I don't know what the viewership is going to be like for this movie. It's going to be a big budget movie. It's not going to be, I mean, it's probably going to be a safer budget than the TV series, because rumor is the budget per episode of each season was somewhere in the like $30 million per episode range. So you're talking like a $240 million movie for, you know, 8 episodes. In this movie, they already have, they got a big grant credits from the state when that stuff happened. They're just filming on their Googleplex or whatever heck it is that sound stadium is that they built for it all.
Oh, the volume.
The volume, yeah. Pedro Pascal probably is not going to be on set much. I don't know if they're going to bring back Bo-Katan and all that stuff. Please bring back the armor. She's my sweetheart. I love her so much. But you're probably looking at a $150 million movie, maybe. So it's safer than season 4. But season 3 was such a mixed bag. It really felt like season 2 just capped it off. But then, mm-hmm. you know, you have the final cap off shot of season 3 of him kicking rocks with Baby Yoda playing with frogs. You know, what is it going to be? And don't do this bullshit they've gone back and forth with a few times now. Well, you know, we never said that Din Djarin was the Mandalorian. The Mandalorian, it could be any Mandalorian. No. The damn subtitles say whenever he speaks, the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Everybody calls him, oh, Carl Weathers passed away.
I was just about to bring that up. I'm curious what they do with the casting because this is due out in a little over 2 years now. And yeah. I would be fine if they recast him, only because I do feel like Greef Karga is such an important character, but I don't know how you replicate the warmth that Carl Weathers brought to that role.
No, he brought warmth to the role. He brought emotion. He directed a few episodes.
Mm-hmm. I do think, like, I don't want to be stereotypical, and I don't want to cast another almost 80-year-old person. Like, Carl Weathers wasn't 80, but Ernie Hudson has that warmth. I think he could bring a similar style to it, but again, I don't want to be stereotypical with it and I don't want to be ageist with it, but I need to not cast an almost 80-year-old in a role that ideally is going to continue on for 4 or 5 more years even. Spoiler alert for Captain America 4, if and when that movie ever comes out. Harrison Ford was cast in the role of Thunderbolt Ross after William Hurt passed away. Harrison Ford is going to... No, sorry. Let me rephrase that. Thunderbolt Ross is going to die in this movie.
Probably.
Harrison Ford at 80 some years old is not joining a franchise for a long term role, especially when he does not care about franchises anymore or ever did. Like he does not give a crap about any Star Wars question. I will pay money to watch most of his press release stuff for this. People sitting down with him, asking about Han Solo, asking him about Marvel lore and asking him about Indiana Jones and whatever else, and him just sitting there being like, I don't know, I don't fucking care, just get me out of here. I gotta go film Shrinking, which is a show that I actually enjoy being a part of. Did you see the viral video of me in the hula skirt?
Can you give me a Sam Elliott? Because they could have just cast Sam Elliott.
Why not? They're so like there were rumors that they were bringing back Jennifer Connelly was Betty Ross in The Hulk. But there's also rumors that they might bring back Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler. Yeah. there's rumors that they might bring back Liv Tyler in some capacity as well. But I don't want my Captain America movie to become Red Hulk movie. Because that should be a Hulk storyline. And if they're even branching it into World War Hulks in some capacity, like, I still don't think Harrison Ford's coming back for it. Like, maybe they use Harrison Ford as the Red Hulk in Captain America 4 to kickstart World War Hulks. I don't know. But it's not something that's going to work. But getting back to Mandalorian, I'm curious how even they just go about advertising this.
Yeah.
Because do you advertise it as Star Wars The Mandalorian, or is it The Mandalorian with like a little Star Wars decal on the side because you have to make sure everyone knows it's a Star Wars thing?
I have it now. This is how you make sure you get everybody to understand what this movie is. It's Mandalorian : Baby Yoda : Star Wars : a Star Wars story.
So you're subscribing to the Zack Snyder school of naming your movies now.
Yes.
What you would need is The Mandalorian /X.
Yeah, there we go.
Baby Yoda /Grogu - Star Wars : the show.
Exactly. You just got to let everybody know what this is.
Part one.
You know what? They're going to do a part one because we're supposed to have the Dave Filoni movie to wrap up, like the Osaka Boba Fett skeleton crew Mandalorian shared universe, apparently. That's what part two is going to be. It's going to be.
Did we get the Acolyte trailer this week? Was
yeah.
that this week?
It was
God,
either
this week, was a month of a week.
It was either this week or last week, because all I remember you is you slacked me and said Carrie Ann Moss is a villain. I'm like, yeah, of course Trinity is.
There's again, creative bankruptcy. She's the most notable person in the cast, and it looks like they're either alluding to the fact that she's going to be murdered in the first episode, or she's going to be helping in this investigation, which is going to lead to a turn where she's going to be the bad guy. Spoiler alert, / hypothesizing, / speculation, whatever.
Yeah.
It's the way Hollywood works, is the person who is not the lead, the next highest notable actor, is going to be the villain.
Oh, easily. Yeah. They're not going to no name this. All right. So there we go. We have that's how Dave Filoni's movie is going to be named. The Mandalorian / Baby Yoda / The Acolyte / Ahsoka / Skeleton Crew / Grogu / the show Star Wars.
Well, The Acolyte doesn't have to be included because that's 100 years prior to episode one.
Oh, Baby Yoda's in there.
30 years. General audiences don't know.
Baby Yoda's probably going to be in The Acolyte. Or you know what? It's probably going to be a prequel. It's going to be how Baby Yoda was made. You're going to find out Baby Yoda.
I could see them doing a parallel story where it's Jin kind of opening up to Baby Yoda and him telling about his bringing and his childhood trauma, and Grogu kind of having flashbacks throughout, and we see more of the Clone Wars and all that sort of stuff, especially if Dave Filoni's involved. We can't not have Order 66.
No, I mean, the way Dave Filoni works is, if there is so much as a nail hole in the Star Wars canon, he's got the mud putty to fix it.
Before we get out of here, if you're still here with us, thank you. Don't forget, we are still running our Talking Smackdowns drawing entries. So if you email us at tsmackpod@gmail.com or you # Talking Smackdowns, SMACDOWNS, at Talking Smack Pod on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, Threads, Hive Social, Post News, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, whatever. If you find us and you can # Talking Smackdowns, give us a fight suggestion, you will be entered in for a Steam edition copy of Marvel Midnight Suns. And we'll do a Wheel of Names on episode 150 to see who wins. I think we're holding steady now at like 25 entries. So we need a few more. If we can get it up to an even 30, I'd be happy. But we'll do a Wheel of Names to draw the winner that day, and it'll be fun for everyone. Alex, let everyone know about our Discord.
On our Discord, you can do many things. One of them is you can join it. Second thing is you can add us. The third thing is you can review all our sub Discords, where we talk about movies, animation, and comics, and superheroes. And the other thing is, you can get our raw, unfiltered opinions on such things like, what is better, a day without rain or a winter without snow?
That's a good Enya album, A Day Without Rain. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Oh, man. Now I want to listen to Mummer's Dance. Thank you. Now I got two things stuck in my head. The Mummer's Dance song and Shiny.
Man, A Day Without Rain is like, I created a mix of like really mellow classical music that would help put me to sleep when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And A Day Without Rain was the first one. Like, it's that perfect, just warm sounds and piano, just perfect for me. Anyway, please join our Discord. The link is in the episode description. You can also follow us on all the social media platforms at Talking Smack Pod, which again are Blue Sky, Instagram, Threads, Hive Social, Post News, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Lonnie's website. Email us your thoughts, questions, concerns, reviews of things we've seen or things you have seen. Make sure they're spoiler free at tsmackpod@gmail.com. Thank you to Leo Allen for our musical themes. Alex, who's doing the remix?
Ludwig Göransson, because if he does not do the music for the Mandalorian / Acolyte / Grogu, he was missing from the third season of of Mando.
Thank you to Beppo for our original avatars, Retro Ale Studios for our Ricky avatars. Please like, subscribe, rate, review the podcast on your podcatcher of choice. If you get to leave a review, please know that all you have to do is say, I would rather listen to this than watch Madam Web. Or maybe you could, if you don't like us, say that you'd rather watch Madam Web. That's all we ask. We don't ask for anything, anything further. Just let us know if you think we're better than Madam Web. And most importantly, thanks so much, Alex, for taking the time to be here. And also to you, dear listener, thank you so much for listening. And again, suffering through this with us tonight. This was fun, but it was definitely different from what we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for listening, and take care. Don't forget to watch Star Trek, and trans rights are human rights. I used the wrong outro. That's supposed to be Beppo.
Well, you know what? This is a new outro. We're coming for you, Big Sandwich. We're coming for you, Mr. Sunday. We do movie news now, too.
I want his life.